All right, here we go. Friday, Treasure Island, Cofield and Company. Mark McMillan is here.
Hey.
We've got Greg Salerno here as well. Jared's back in our Finley Toyota studios. So what's up, guys?
I'm here, man. You know, I got the menu in front of me. You know me. I gotta start off with food. I know we're going to have my boy on in a minute, my guy Gort from Jersey. Huge Eagle fan, so I got to get my criteria about the salad. My man said the salad is decent.
Chicken salad, though, like the sandwich, the chicken salad sandwich. I don't know about the regular salad. I haven't tried that one yet.
Okay, so
but I'm sure it's amazing. I'm just saying I haven't tried it.
You're a chicken salad guy, so is Jed.
Yeah.
So we have two votes for chicken salad.
Oh, you said chicken salad.
Yeah, like the sandwich.
Chicken salad sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, when you first sat down, I thought you just said salad. I was like, okay.
I should have clarified what I was saying. Well, but
I'm okay for a good chicken salad.
Yeah, no, it's phenomenal.
That. Okay.
It's really good.
I'm a big fan of the tenders.
Oh.
And, well, I love Loco Moco, so any kind of Loco Moco.
They got Loco Moco on here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got two different kinds. They got a spicy one. They've got, not that you want a beer while you're doing the show, but they've got a Reuben and a beer special, and they've got a fish and chips and a beer special.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I'm about to come back. I have to change my schedule showing up at Treasure Island. I'm about to come here more often.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have Mark down here at least once a month throughout the football season. And like you said, we have special guests today, Matt Gork, who is with Mark on the Next Level Chef Season 2 show.
That's it's my boy.
The Gordon Ramsay show. So Matt's actually an Eagles fan, Greg, so we'll get into the Eagles. And he went all the way across country, Chef Matt, to do a barbecue fest in the Seattle area. So that's going to be fascinating. Coming
interesting.
Up in about 10 minutes, yep.
I don't know. Seattle was known for their barbecue.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you know about this, Mark?
Is this
like a big festival? Is that like an Alani casino?
It's a huge festival. He's been doing this for a while.
Oh,
obviously,
yes.
Being on the show helps out a lot. Got to give a shout-out to the winner of Season 2, Chef Tucker, who's also there with Matt as well. So it's just barbecue competitions all over the country, man, and he's always in the mix. I've been invited to a few, but I was like, I'm just going to stay here in Vegas and travel a little bit. But he's up for the task. Matt's been doing this for a while, man. He can cook a brisket in his sleep, man.
How many games did you play in Seattle during your career?
I think 3 games.
Did you play at the old place?
The old place. The old dome.
Is this floor right here that we're doing the show on at TI, is it softer than the Kingdome Field?
You know, we played in Philly, we played on the
– I was going to say you played at the Vet probably.
So I don't know. But the Kingdome was really bad. It was I think I made an interception on my rookie year on the receiver. He fell down. He never played again for the rest of the season. I think
really?
He knocked his shoulder out, just falling on the carpet.
Yeah. That's like travertine tile or something.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, it did make guys faster because Bo Jackson looked like he could run a 3.440 on that play against Bosworth. The one where he
ran through the tunnel?
He kept going.
He ran through him and then the tunnel.
Yeah.
He couldn't stop. Yeah. I wouldn't have tried to stop because then it really was straight concrete.
Yeah. And you're on cleats too.
Yeah. I'm glad I was born a little later, but I'm glad I wasn't born soon enough, because if I would have been born a little earlier, I'd have to go against Bo. It wouldn't have been good. But if I'd have been born a little later, with the salaries these guys get now, you can get one or two picks and you can be like a $15 million cornerback in the game.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right.
So,
back
mom.
In my day.
So, mom.
Now he's right, though.
Yeah. So, mom, if you're listening, you couldn't hold out.
You know, I always wanted to
hear when you're 46.
I always wanted to know this, though. Like, let's say if Bo Jackson, like other players playing against Bo Jackson, you hear these, like, stories and stuff. Were they all, like, was it, like, at the time they were like, wow, this guy's special? Or
well, you know, growing up in, you know, I went to school at Alabama. So, he was huge on Tecmo Bowl.
Oh, that's right.
So,
we're
like, man, him, Kellen Winslow, like, huge. Was like, then all of a sudden he gets hurt. But you still look at the film the year before of some of the previous games, and we happened to play the Raiders my rookie year. So we're looking at highlights from the year before. And I'm sitting in the back like, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, right. Wow, that's crazy.
So a little Eagles talk before we get to Matt Gork. They just made a trade.
Woo!
And what this has done with Jahan Dotson going from the Commies, used to be the Redskins, you played for them, him going to the Eagles – is now, again, the rumor mill is swirling. I have never seen a preseason with a guy who I think, like Ayuk, I think is a solid player. Yep. I don't even know if he's a legit number one on a good team. Hmm. And we've had to hear about this freaking trade for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And now, of course, this gets the rumor mill going like, oh, maybe he's going to D.C., play for the Commanders.
they made space, it seems like, you know, with this trade, and now they have a little bit more firepower with the Eagles' third-round pick. Maybe they could, you know, make a move. You're right, though. With the Ayuk stuff, I mean, I think he's good. Don't get me wrong. He's productive. He's really good. But people are, you know, they're treating him like he's Calvin Johnson or something.
Yeah, he is getting a lot of it. But they said if he goes for another 1,000 this year, he breaks Jerry Rice's record. So he is in some really good company. But, you know, I don't see him being a number one on another team and being that productive with all the pieces they have him. You got Christian McCaffrey. You got to stack the box.
Right.
So you're one-on-one, you know, moving around against, you know, some of the, maybe the second or the third corner. So he has an opportunity to maybe make some money, but I don't know how they're going. Where are they going to get the money from?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where you got? You know, didn't they draft it? You know, Purcelli out of University of Florida, who's still battling a shoulder injury. So I don't know how that's going to. I don't know how that's going to pan out. But I'm okay with the Eagles. I'm okay with what we're doing there in Philadelphia. I don't care about what the 49ers doing. Yeah. I love Howie and what Howie is doing. Howie is like he's the GM of the year before the season even starts.
Yeah. Somebody out there, I forget who it was on Twitter now. I forget who it was, but somebody said that Howie should be brought up on RICO charges. he keeps getting all these deals. I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, if you look at their trio, their wide receiver, their top three wide receivers right now. I mean,
all number one
picks. Are there better one? Is there a better trio right now?
No,
probably not.
No,
but obviously the question is, can the quarterback get it to him, and will Sirianni keep his mitts? His panicky, nervous mitts, right. His angry mitts off of the offense.
Well he has to.
You hired a guy to be the OC.
He has to.
He's got a resume.
Right.
You better let him do the offensive game.
And a really good Met resume.
Yeah, that's true.
Really good. Yeah, you got
Helen Moore's good.
Yeah, he is.
And last year, I mean, I think you said last time we talked about this that you didn't believe that there were issues between Hurts and Sirianni. I think there were. So I think Sirianni's kind of a lunatic. He should not have his – like any control of either one of the units. He has a tough enough time. Just manage the game, be the motivator, be the crazy guy, have Big Dom next to you so you don't run on the field. You know what I mean? just all that. So, I mean, this was a big offseason to go out and get a couple of really good coordinators so that Sirianni can just be the CEO of the team.
I mean, I know I'm a homer, but if you look at what they did, two new coordinators who are both very respected guys, Fangio and Kellen Moore.
Yep.
They drafted two new studs who I think are going to be studs in the secondary. They've got, you know, DeGene and Mitchell.
Yeah.
They brought back C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I mean, if you look at everything they did, including Saquon, we didn't even talk about Saquon. I mean, the Eagles are loaded, man. They're just a loaded roster.
Let's do a giveaway early in the show today. We got tickets to go see Future next Friday. It's the We Trust You Tour, T-Mobile Arena. So at the Fortress, you can get your tickets at AXS.com. Griffin out today, Jared in. So Jared's got all the hookups for the tickets today. Caller 7, Future tickets next week, next Friday. Get out there, grab those tickets yourself. We've got two right now, 364-1100.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
All right, rolling on Cofield and Company. Mark McMillan in for the hour. Greg Salerno is here. Mark, what's going on this weekend with the Raiders? They got all the alums in town?
Yeah, they got a lot of alumni in town. I saw my guy Willie Goat. I saw him playing golf today with Marcus Allen and my man Eric Dickerson. So, you know, all the Raiders will be in town. So, Willie, are you out there?
I'm here.
That's my man, Willie.
I have been spotted.
I don't know how you be spotted, man, because you are always running. You are always on the go. I know the running joke, you know, last time we were sitting down at the round table with me, you, Marcus, and Christian was, man, Willie doesn't catch Ubers when it's a little late. Willie would just run to where he needs to go. So I appreciate
you.
I appreciate you being on, pro. What's going on, man? I know it's an exciting time for you guys to come back together. What is it like, man, seeing some of your old teammates and guys you went to battle with?
You know, Mark, this is invaluable. I mean, I played for two teams. I was very fortunate to play for the Bears and the Raiders. You know, a lot of guys like this don't get an opportunity to come back and see players. I saw players yesterday that hadn't seen guys in 40 or 50 years, 30 years. And it's always great to have a camaraderie like this, to be able to come back and see guys that you haven't seen in a long time. It's really amazing and invaluable, and the Raiders do an amazing job. They probably do the best job in the league as far as trying to take care of their alumni and bringing their players back to see each other and to have fun. And it's a great fraternity that, you know, you played in. It's a very, very small fraternity, but yet it's very necessary to come see guys.
I know, you know, the Raider Nation is excited for what's coming up this year, and you spoke of the team you played with before. You won a Super Bowl with the Chicago Bears back in the day. I wish we had that Super Bowl shuffle video that we could show up. But do you still have some of those moves, man, back in the day?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man, for sure. I was fortunate to play with the Bears. We won the Super Bowl in 85, 86 season. And it was a special team, special players, the great Walter Payton. You know, I played with William Perry, Mike Singletary, Richard Dent, Otis Wilson, Dan Hampton, all those amazing
good
guys.
Good Lord.
Oh, yeah, sorry. And Jim McMahon, of course. And Wilbur Marshall was probably one of the best linebackers in the country at the time. But we had a great team. We were ranked number two in offense and number one in defense. A lot of people didn't know the offense was ranked number two in the league also.
Willie Gault is with us here on Cofield and Company, Mark and Grillen, Greg Salerno, Cofield. So I got to ask you a couple questions about the Bears. First of all, are you excited, you know, with what you've seen so far from Caleb Williams?
I mean, I don't get too excited about just about anything. You know, I'm an even keel. I mean, I don't get too excited. I don't get too depressed. I mean, I think, you know, the season will take care of itself if guys can stay healthy and guys can perform. You just never know. You know, just the preseason doesn't make a season. So just because you're 4-0 in the preseason doesn't mean you're going to do well in the season. I think, you know, the guys will go out and they'll do their best. And, you know, they play against other professionals. So we'll see what happens.
It is pretty crazy, though, watching Hard Knocks to be reminded of the note that the Bears haven't had a 4,000-yard passer in a season ever. It's pretty crazy with, you know, how the game's evolved.
Right. Well, when we were there, we had a guy named Walter Payton who was pretty good. You know,
yeah,
so
helps.
He ran the ball. So, you know, I did what I could. I led the team each 5 years I was there, but we didn't throw the ball a lot. I mean, we ran the ball more. We probably threw the ball 20 times a game. And if I got two or three passes thrown to him, I was lucky. So it's just the nature of the game that we played.
Willie Gault on Cofield and Company. Can I ask you a few track and field questions first? On making the Olympic team, can you take us back to 1980 and what that was like? I mean, we haven't had many people who made that team, and obviously you didn't get to go because of what was going on with the Russians. What was your feeling at the time, first of all, making the team, and then when did you get the information? How close to the Olympics did you find out? Like, we're not going?
Well, it was actually surreal. I mean, being able to make the Olympic team as a freshman in college, coming out of high school, it was a dream of mine to make the Olympic team and, of course, to play in the National Football League and to play college football. And when we made it, we were just really happy. And then when we found out we weren't going, they said, well, we're having another Olympics. There was an alternative Olympics, but actually more countries were there participating, 34 nations as opposed to 17 that went to Moscow. And we did, we won there. We won a gold medal there, which was, you know, like an Olympics with an asterisk at it. But it was great. It was amazing, the players. But, you know, I wish we had gone, in hindsight, gone to the Olympics and actually beat the Russians in Russia. Would have meant more because they didn't do anything. They stayed in Afghanistan. Nothing happened, so it was really a waste of the energy. And the athletes who trained for 4 to 8 years and to have a political decision like that made was really not fair to us because the winner team got an opportunity to go in and compete.
Talking to Willie Gault, former NFL wide receiver, and I'm glad that we have an NFL player here because I want to ask you this. I remember back when Usain Bolt was, you know, the fastest man in the world, and everybody was saying that 100 meters is different than 40 yards and all this other stuff. Do you believe any of this stuff where Tyreek Hill says he can compete against Noah Lyles? Like, I mean, if it's a different 50-yard versus 100 meters versus 40 yards, like, is it different if you go different lengths, obviously?
Let me just say this. If I don't have $1 billion, but I'll bet $1 billion on Noah Lyles. I mean, it's a joke, really. It really is a joke. I mean, so it's okay.
I mean, if they do 50 yards.
I'm betting $1 billion. I'll find it somewhere. I'm betting $1 billion on Noah Lyles.
I'm guessing any follow-up I have, you're just going to be like, it's $1 billion.
I'll bet $1 billion on Noah Lyles and the top 5 or 10 people in the Olympics.
Yep.
I'll bet $1 billion on them, too.
Yeah, well, his best. I think his best time, Willie, Tyreek Hill in the 100, is like a 10.19. I don't think people realize from 9.79 to 10.19 is that's massive.
People just don't understand. It's just,
right.
it's. I mean, look, Tyreek Hill is fast. Okay, he's fast. He's football fast, and he could have been fast maybe in the Olympics, but it's not. We never know. But it's a different. You know, it is, and people just don't. I hear commentators on TV say this weird, crazy stuff, but they just don't know. And it's ignorant, and it's okay. But I know because I did both. I had a high level on both. I understand it. It's a different deal. In football, you go off your reaction. In track and field, you go off the gun's reaction. You cannot be faster than 1 second. In football, that 0.1 seconds is yours because we're going off your movement. So it's a totally different thing.
Now I know last time we were together, we were talking about the NFL Fastest Man contest with Daryl Green, Bo Jackson. I know Ron Brown came up in the discussion as well. Where do you think you fare back in your day against those guys, and how fast was Bo Jackson really?
Well, Daryl Green was fast. Daryl Green was a legitimate fast guy. Ron Brown was a legitimate fast guy, Olympian. Bo was quick. Bo was quick, but Bo's fastest time in 100, I think, was 10-2, something like that, or whatever. Bo was quick. I mean, he wasn't as fast as Daryl. He wasn't as fast as Ron or as fast as the other guys, but Bo was quick for his size. I mean, for someone who weighed 220 pounds, but Herschel Walker was probably the fastest big man that I've ever seen.
Herschel
that
beat
I've
me.
Seen Herschel.
A lot of guys lost a lot of money. I think it was my second year in the league, and Herschel came to us, and it was thousands and thousands of dollars. They were like, defense, like, hey, we got Mark, and everybody's like, hey, we got Herschel. He nudged me out. I think we both were in 4-2 something, but I will attest, Herschel Walker was fast.
No, Herschel was a legitimate 10-2, 10-1 sprinter. So he was fast. No, he's legitimate.
So what do you got on the menu now? I'm following you on the gram. I see you out golfing. I see Marcus got Eric Dickerson to come back.
Eric came back. We had a couple of guys. Howie Long came back. So,
nice.
Yeah, we got it. There's probably a couple hundred guys here. It's amazing. The alumni are here. We see guys that we haven't seen in years. It's, you know, we're talking loud and playing telling old stories. It's just really an amazing time. It's really good. We really thank the Raiders organization and Mark Davis for, you know, letting the alumni people put this on. They do a great job, too.
And some of those stories back in the day with the old Raiders, I know Marcus was talking about it, about, you know, Trubisky and some of the old school Raiders. We can't say it on TV, on this show, but,
oh yeah,
man.
All those stories are being told and rehashed.
I see why they were dominant.
We're having a blast.
Now I want you to say it on the show, whatever it is.
That's locker room talk. That's locker room talk, man. Some of the stuff they were saying that happened in those Raiders locker rooms, man, why guys were scared to play in the Raiders.
Couldn't do it in this day and time, that's for sure.
Yeah. Willie Galt with us here on Cofield & Company. Last couple of minutes, I did want to ask specifically about the L.A. Raiders and what it was like there and just being in that kind of – L.A. sports pantheon where a lot of the teams were really good and you guys were superstars. What was it like just being in L.A. as an athlete with the Lakers around, the Dodgers, the Kings? You know, they had, you know, a little bit of a following. What was it like?
It was like rock star status. It was amazing. And, you know, you got a chance to see some of the people that you loved and your peers, you know, whether it be actors or Al Pacino or Denzel Washington and all those type of guys, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you lift at the gym with them and you'll get a chance that they know you, you know them. And, you know, it's just amazing because all those people like that wanted to be athletes or were athletes. So they look up to you like you look up to them as an actor. And they are as an entertainer, a singer, you know, hung out with the Jacksons, Michael Jackson, those people. I mean, it's like unreal. So it was really quite amazing and a blessing. A small town guy like me came from Griffin, Georgia, you know, with 20,000 people. To be able to achieve and be able to go to a place like L.A. and hobnob with people like Muhammad Ali or Denzel Washington or
Al Pacino. Good Lord, you're dropping some, man. You're dropping
some
names.
It was really quite amazing.
Good Lord.
Willie, I wanted to ask you about the schedule because obviously they moved it up to 17 games, which we know wasn't going to last because it's all uneven and weird. They were, you know, kind of greasing us up for the 18 games. How do you feel that's going to affect football in general? And, I mean, will that be more injuries or will they be able to just cut the slack off somewhere else?
Well, preseason, they're not playing preseason, really. I mean, not practicing. Look, when we play, we had to practice twice a day for 3 weeks. I mean, almost 4 weeks. We played in all the preseason games. So they're taking preseason games out and making the games count, which is, from a money standpoint, it makes sense. And I think it'll be okay. I mean, the guys just have to be in better shape. They have to take it upon themselves to do it because they're not hitting. So it's hard to get in shape, so they have to work their way in shape in the first two or three or four games.
Do you think the bye week, like the second bye week, will actually be better than only having one bye week with 17 games? Because I feel like it's almost like a better.
I wouldn't want two bye weeks. It makes the season way too long. But, yeah. I mean, if they stretch the season out, it means more revenue for them. So, but it's look, it's up to them. They've done a great job. They don't need my help as far as determining what to do. That's for sure. They're a multi-billion-dollar company. So, and the commission has done an amazing job, and, you know, I really respect what they've done. I love the game. I'm a fan. It's helped me be the person that I am, and I have nothing but great things to say about it.
All right, my man, Willie, what do you? I know you got something else cooking tonight. What do you guys have planned? I'm sure I'll see you at the stadium tonight, hanging out with the guys. You are the pitcher video king, so they need to hire you for their social team, man, because you're on it, man. So what do you guys have planned today, and what time do you guys get to the stadium?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be wild today, man. It's going to be crazy. We're going to the stadium at 5, and then we're, you know, getting together. We're going to probably, you know, go on the field and hang out, and all the guys in the – in the press box, and the, you know, we're gonna have fun. And then
we might have to get a one-on-one.
It's gonna be cool.
We might have to get a one-on-one. If you're on the field, man, we can line up outside the numbers now. Outside
man,
the numbers.
You do not want any, bro. Right. You do not want it, Mark.
I see you working out every day at UCLA, man, on the beach, body by Jake. Trust me, I don't want none of that smoke. But.
Body by Jake.
Getting it done.
Willie, thank you so much. We appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Appreciate you. All right.
See you tonight, man.
Take care, man.
The legendary Willie Gull. We'll talk more about the interview on the way back. We're live here at Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Got the sportsbook right across the way, 24-7 with the kiosk, 55-plus TVs. So we got the Raiders coming up tonight at 7 o'clock down at the Owl. Two other preseason football games, all the baseball. So get on down here. It's a very happy, happy, happy hour Friday with Cofield & Company.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Just getting into Cofield and Company, very good spot early on here as Mark McMillan is at the set. He's on the show. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar here at Treasure Island. Salerno's here. We just talked to Willie Gault, who is a legend on so many fronts. We barely got into... He gave a great take. His take on Noah Lyles is dynamite, which I figured a real... We've talked about it because Mark... You ran in high school.
Yeah.
You ran like what'd you, the 100 was 10.3?
10.3 was my fastest 100.
Right. And then you were around Quincy Watts.
Yeah. And he was Olympic.
He was sub 10, obviously.
And he was different speed.
Yeah.
There's no way I would have been, I wasn't even close to Quincy Watts, and I ran a 10.3.
And your best 40 was what?
4.24 was my best 40.
And I'm guessing Tyreek is sub, he was sub 4.3. I don't know if he could do it now. But you can see
as he's making it faster than that.
I couldn't believe when he said that about Herschel being, you know, who knows what he was, 225, 235,
yeah.
Running a 10.1. But with Noah Lyles being called out by Tyreek Hill, I don't even know if Lyles should do it. But you notice Tyreek Hill went from, like, I can beat him to, well, I can beat him in the 50-yard dash. Like, he wants to make it, like, the smallest race possible so that he has a shot.
Well, that's why I was asking, because I'm not sure if, you know, at some point, the splits are different. Like, I mean, if you're faster off the line, is that better than if you're – because, I mean, some guys might be faster on a 20-yard run than a guy that's, you know, 100 meters or whatever.
And so. Noah Lyles is not a fast guy coming out of the blocks.
Right.
That's why he's a really good 200-meter runner. So Tyreek is trying to play into his hand. You know, he'll probably beat him in the, you know, the 40, but after, like, 50 or 60, that's when Noah Lyles kicks it. Yeah, it's over.
We just watched the Olympics. You see how emotional it is, how once every 4 years – and you go to the World Championship, but the Olympics – are a different thing. It's impossible to make. If you flop in the U.S. trials, it's just devastating. I cannot imagine being Willie Gault. Like he said, he talked about the political move there by Jimmy Carter at the time with the Russians and Afghanistan and boycotting the Olympics. I can't imagine being told, like, sorry, all the hard work, you can't go.
Yeah. And like you said, he was disappointed, and he wanted to go down there and, you know, and beat those guys. And like I said, you know, coming from a football player standpoint from Tennessee to making the Olympic team.
Yeah,
like,
that's crazy.
Like it is unbelievable. And every time I see Vashti Cunningham, who finished fifth in the world this year, so she's getting closer with the high jump, Randall's daughter. You know, just being on the Olympic team and being on that stage, it's almost like, you know, being an NFL player. But I think the Olympics is probably a little bit more up on the echelon because you're going against everybody in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to figure even an All-Pro has, like, I don't know, a certain amount of positions, but
yeah. –
If you're not top three in the Olympics, that's
that's it.
Willie was he was part of the 4x100 team in the 83 World Championships, and he ran with Emmett King, Calvin Smith, and Carl Lewis.
And yeah, we're talking about,
about a badge of honor, right?
It's crazy, man.
One of our greatest Olympians ever. And here's the thing. Willie's specialty wasn't the 100.
No.
It was 110-meter hurdles.
Yeah. He's just a – if you see Willie today, you will still think he can suit up. Like, you got to watch some of his videos.
Right.
Dude is sprinting, doing – he's on the beach with his shirt off doing sprints.
At 63 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make a comparison here. I'm not saying, because I know you guys will rip my head off, I'm not saying it's the same thing. But I don't know if you saw, there was a video out there with Tom Brady dunking recently. He's 6'4 and a half, 6'5. He's 48 years old. And there are people who are like, I didn't know he could do that. Like, do you realize the kind of athletes almost every single NFL player is? I mean, you play in the league, so you know.
Yeah. I was able to dunk.
Really?
Yeah, my vertical was 42 inches. So I was able to dunk a basketball.
Like Spud Webb.
And like I said, like you said, they'll think Tom Brady, like he's, you know, just dunk.
He's not athletic. The funny thing is, through modern whatever, I don't think he's taken anything, but you can become a better athlete with training, and he's a perfect example. He's a better, you know, sleeker looking guy. I'm very jealous of his looks. Who met him a couple weeks ago?
He looks great.
Oh, Dawn Staley met him, and she was like,
"He looks great."
Oh my God!
Yeah,
like he's such a beautiful man. Now I think some of that could be enhancement. He's got a really good barber. I don't know if he's had work done, but it looks like he's had work done. He was kind of a round faced, schlubby guy 25 years ago coming out of Michigan.
He's been under the knife. I'm confident he can sue me whatever for my. For my nothing.
Allegedly.
But, allegedly. But, yeah, I'm pretty confident he has been.
Yeah, well, he's on TV more now. So,
yeah.
He's got to look good.
If I had money, none of this would be here. I'd be under the knife all day. I wouldn't probably never come out.
We've talked about this a lot. Would you go plastic surgery?
Absolutely.
Could you get a hair job that would work?
I would get, like, a transplant, the ones that go from the back of your head, and they put it in the front.
You do it slow?
I think they do it all at once.
I thought about that
one
time. I see Dion got some hair now. I thought about that. My son was like, dude, you better not do that. nah, bro.
When you grow it out, do you have anything?
No.
Okay.
They call me McDonald's. I have the McDonald's, like, cow licks. That's what they call it, the cow licks for brothers.
Yeah.
Like, no, I can't do it. So I just
I'll
go
tell
home,
you,
man.
The worst guys are Nick Wright at Fox. And then I know a fighter, Frank Trigg, who fought Matt Hughes, UFC 170 guy, and he always fought bald. And then I see him, like, 15 years later, he used to do a lot of stuff with us. He comes in with a full head of hair. I'm like, what are you doing?
I know.
I'm like, you're choosing to be bald while the rest of us are going bald? And then you can fire up a fro?
Joe Biden for a long time had no hair when I was a kid growing up.
That's a hair job.
No, that's what I'm saying. His looks pretty natural.
You think?
If they gave me the Biden, I'd be fine with it. Yeah.
What we go call it, the Biden?
Yeah.
When I'm talking about Nick Wright and Frank Trigg, they just were bald, but they could grow a full head of hair.
I thought Nick Wright, got a hairpiece.
No, now he's got the
flowing
thing.
Yeah, he shaved his head trying to be cool. Dude, if you had that Fabio look, I would have just done that.
Hey, you never know. Somebody might be out there listening. They might want to sponsor us. So I'll go, you know,
there
go
we
get
go.
Some hair plugs.
Believe me. We're working on something. We got to work on something. Up next, we're going to go to Seattle, talk a little barbecue, talk a little chefing, talk a little Eagles, as Matt Gourke from Gordon Ramsay's Next Level Chef is on the way.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
So anyone who's listened to Cofield and Company over the years, you know we love food. You know, I have a great admiration for chefs. The Super Bowl here, Greg, you were down there on Radio Row.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, you know, let's bring over, you know, the 24th most famous player on some team. And I'm like, okay, I guess. Wait. And then I'm like, wait, Cake Boss is here? Buddy? Yeah, get him on! You know, I go crazy over celebrity chefs. And a celebrity chef maker extraordinaire is Gordon Ramsay. And Mark McMillan was on the show. Matt Gourke, who's an Eagles fan, so we want to talk some Eagles in a couple minutes, is on with us. He's become a big star. Matt, where are you right? You're at a barbecue fest in Washington?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure to be on. Yo, Mark. What's up, buddy?
What's going on,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, I'm in Washington at A&A Resort and Casino. Just an incredible venue here. It's my second time here over the last year, and we're doing a barbecue fest tomorrow and Sunday. So we've been prepping for a couple days. I have 20 big pork butts on the smoker right now. I'm chilling, drinking a beer, hanging out, and we're going to be feeding about 1,000 people tomorrow. So we're just rocking and rolling. And, Mark, what's crazy is I have a former teammate of yours here with me, bro.
Good Lord, man. Who is that?
Right? Say hi to Tucker.
Mark, what's good, bro?
Oh, Chef Tucker is in the building. No, I can't say Chef Tucker. I can't say Chef Tucker, the champion of Season 2 Next Level Chef. Chef Tucker is in the building.
It was a pleasure to be on your team.
Hey.
I only deal with champions, man.
Yeah.
That's why I'm an Eagles fan.
Man, I am cheesing so hard right now, man. People just don't know the fun that we had on that show, and us continue to be, keep in contact. There's text messages going all day, every day in our group text. So, man, what you guys are doing is amazing, man. Chef Tucker, you already know, man. You saved me so many times. And I don't think people realize when we were on the show, when I was, I think we were both up for elimination, and you had your pen. And you looked at me. I was like, man, and I'm going to have to go battle with my guy, Matt? I was like, one of us going to have to go home, and you use your pen. Yep. So I was like, man, my guy kind of looked out for me, man, because he didn't want to go against me and, send me home. So, man, I don't know a lot of people realize that, but, man, thank you for that opportunity, man. So that means that you were able to go on and continue to cook. So, man, shout out to my guy, Matt, the barbecue extraordinaire, baby.
What a good time, man. What a good time.
Matt, I had a question for you. It says here they're having a competition. How do you know, like, you taste something and you're like, okay, wow, that's an amazing rib or whatever, versus some other guy? Like, when it gets real close and you guys are all really, really, really good, how do you tell it apart?
Man, there's so much. Listen, there's a very fine line between all these meats, whether it's pork or brisket or a rib, being perfectly cooked and the right texture, as far as actually being able to smoke it correctly. We could talk about seasonings and barbecue sauces and all that stuff. There's so many good ones out there, but to really be able to nail that time and get the temp and the texture where it needs to be, that's what makes a perfect rib. And it's honestly a pretty easy thing to tell when you take a bite of barbecue.
Matt, where can people follow you up on IG and Twitter?
Look, across all platforms, all 18 of them. I'm Rourke Boys Barbecue on every platform, man. I got a book coming out in May. It's called The Meat Teacher, May of 2025. So be on the lookout for that. It's going to be a ton of fun. It's like my lesson plan of barbecue, being a high school teacher as well. So I'm excited to bring that out to y'all too.
I'm going to give the guys and even the ladies in the audience some advice. If you are home alone, you got a fun pass, right? And you're thinking about, I'm going to go social media. I'm going to watch a little porn, or I'm going to pull up Matt's IG to watch you cut meat and the juices start coming out. I'm like, what is happening? Why am I feeling something? It's incredible.
Listen, it is. Look, I will promise everybody, if you follow my page, you're going to laugh. You might cry because my kids are adorable and there's just so much love under the roof of my home. And you're gonna laugh. I mean, you're going to laugh hysterically because my wife is vegetarian and I give her a really hard time. Mark knows that. And listen, at the same time, barbecue especially, food in general, it's sexy, it's sensual. There's a whole lot of jokes and puns that you can make when you talk about eating my meat. Right? I want everybody to taste my meat. And there's a lot of fun and jokes that come with that, too.
I'm getting excited, but I'm not getting excited about your comment about eat my meat. But I'm just getting excited just hearing you talk about the food, man. I know when I came to Philly last year, I made sure to hook up with you, man. You guys throw a mean tailgate. Tell everybody what they can find you at during Eagles game as well, man, because you guys do an amazing job. And your boy made probably one of the best cheesesteaks I've had, man, in the parking lot. In Philly. So tell everybody where you guys going to be located at this season.
Listen, our tailgate spot, my boy Sean. Sean is just epic, man. He is like, look, I do barbecue. He runs the tailgates, man. It's we're in parking lot C6 of the Sixers Stadium right across the street from the Link, the Wells Fargo Center. So we're in C6. I mean, we're cooking gator, whole pigs. We do cheesesteaks. We do everything. We knock it out of the park every single week. And Sean, you can find him on the Eagles YouTube. He's worked with them on some videos and stuff. Yep. He's just a massive Eagles fan. I've been an Eagles season ticket holder for 25 years. So we're out in that parking lot at 5 a.m., waiting in line for them to open up and let us crazies in the parking lot.
Man, as a fellow Eagles fan, Matt, I got to ask you this. I just saw Dotson traded for, how he doing his business, what he always does in the offseason. How great of a trio of wide receivers do the Eagles have now?
Yo, Howie keeps doing it, right? It's absolutely crazy. I'm bathing in Cowboy, Giants, and Redskin tears, you know, every single time that Howie makes a move. So we've been talking, Mark, for months now that the Eagles need a solid number three yep. option. And you got two of the best receivers in the league at 1 and 2. Honestly, 1A and 1B, right?
Yep.
And now you're talking about putting someone as dynamic and quick as Dotson in the slot, which is right where we need him. And, man, I'll tell you what, first-round draft pick number what, like 16 or something?
Yep,
and we're getting him 2 years out, and a team like the Redskins is going to give up on that right away. We got Kellen Moore running this offense now. So, man, this is going to be exciting, guys.
I can't wait to get back, man. I can't go. I'm coming to the tailgate. Oh, I got to send you out. Say hi to my nephews, man, your sons too, man. So I got a jersey. I know you've been waiting for that McMillan 2-9 to drop. So I got a Kelly Green McMillan for you, man. So I'm going to send it out next week for you, my man.
I love that. You know, Adric and Nash will be excited, man. They're both right by my side every Sunday watching the game. So they're about as crazy as any Eagles fan gets. So. You know they love watching you.
I saw Chef Tucker on Instagram. It was like 500 pounds of short ribs?
Oh, dude, so Tucker's working with another just goat in the industry, Chef David Rose.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's just a machine. Has about 36-inch pythons, you know, like Hulk Hogan style, man. The dude's a beast. But you know, I get. I'm proud of everything I've done, but I get imposter syndrome when I get the opportunity to do these kind of things. And I'm hanging out with chefs like Tuck and David Rose, and got Alton Brown here, and Kevin Bledsoe. And, you know, I mean, you're just talking about some absolute monsters in this game. And to even be in the same building as them over
don't short-change yourself, man. We were humble, but we had the highest rating show of all time, season 2, Next Level Chef.
You ain't lying. And you know why it was the highest rated? Because it was right after the Eagles Super Bowl game.
Yeah.
We lost.
Matt Rourke is with us for a couple more minutes. He's at a big barbecue fest in the state of Washington. He's a big Eagles fan, a great pit master. You know, we haven't told, if people don't watch the show, we haven't told your background story. And all you guys on that show had these amazing stories of kind of rising up and being discovered by Gordon Ramsay. You are a South Jersey guy. You teach where and what's your hometown there?
Yeah, so I live in Medford Lakes, New Jersey. I've been teaching in Washington Township, which is Sewell, New Jersey, at Washington Township High School since 2003. I'm entering my 21st year teaching high school. And I was a health and phys ed teacher for 20 years. And a year ago, my principal, Ray Anderson, called me and asked me if I ever thought about teaching culinary. And let me tell you, I've worked with Ray, you know, as a teacher, supervisor, and now principal. And to have someone like that in your corner that knows what you're passionate about and to ask you to do that for your career is just a blessing, man. So I'm now a high school culinary teacher, getting to teach these kids how to actually throw down in the kitchen now. So it's pretty awesome. And to be able to, you know, do that, I continue with making content. And, yeah, I'm just blessed, man. It's been a pretty fun ride.
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with the area because when I fly into Philly to go back to my home area in New Jersey, I take Route 70, which I think kind of goes through that area over to the Seaside area because my parents are right near Seaside. So
lovely. So you're familiar with the traffic.
Yeah. The road needs to be expanded a little bit. By the way, what's your? Do you go down the shore? What's your beach of choice?
Yeah, we usually hit Ocean City, man. Ocean City was the spot when I was in middle school, high school, and it's where we take the kids now. You know, but we honestly, we're more mountain lake people than we are Jersey Shore. We just got home from a 12-day camping trip. We have a camper parked in our front, you know, and we went to Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, and went to Mount Washington, and we went to Acadia Mountain, did some hikes, and cooked on the grill out front, and myself, Kristen, and Adric and Nash, just, you know, a little soiree before school starts, you know, the hustle and bustle. And, you know, shout out to my amazing wife, man, Kristen. If If, you know, Mark will say the same thing about his beautiful wife. Like, none of this that we do is possible without them. So let's give respect where it's due, and let the true champions know who they are. And that's our beautiful right hands, our wives. So it's pretty awesome.
Who do you get a bigger thrill of being around? Say, you know, a Gordon Ramsay or a Randall Cunningham?
Cunningham, no doubt. I love cooking, and I get blown away hanging out with these chefs I'm with. But Eagles football is just a next level thing to me. No pun intended, you know. Man, Eagles football is where it's at. I worked with Kingsford Charcoal, and Jason Kelsey has now done some commercials with Vince Wilfork in Kingsford on like grilling, and they're in their overalls with no T-shirt underneath, and. Kingsford, I'm working on getting them to hook me up and get me a chance to cook for Jason. So that would be an absolute dream come true. So hopefully I'm going to continue to manifest that. I've manifested a lot of these things that happen, and you know, hopefully cooking for Jason Kelsey one day, or any of the Eagles, honestly, would be a home run. I got to cook for Castellanos and the Phillies players a couple months ago. So that was pretty cool. So the Eagles are next on my checklist.
That's my man, Matt, man. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep knocking it down. I can't wait to tailgate with you guys again, man, and try some of that juicy meat y'all be having on that grill.
You know it, guys. Steve, Greg, you guys are the best. I've been watching you guys through Mark. Mark, I love you, bro. You know you're a brother, and we'll catch up in Philly soon enough. You know it?
Yeah, we go. Go Birds.
Make sure to tell Chef Tucker we want her on. She gets her own spot down the road, so when she's available, she's on with us, please.
You got it. No problem. I'll let her know.
Hey, have a cold one for me, because I know you and Tucker are going to get it in tonight, man.
There you go. There you go.
You see got it. Can I sign off real quick, guys?
Go ahead. Let them know. Let them hear it, baby.
All right. One time. E-A-G-L-E-S.
Eagles.
There we go.
Greg just almost flipped over the table.
I really did. See, he fired up. I'm ready to suit up right now.
See you, Matt. There you go. That was a good spot. Real good spot. He's a cool guy. Wanted to have him on for a long time after watching him on the show. Mark, you're going to bolt out of here over to the Raiders game. Real quick, we got like 20 seconds left. We've got to talk about Grills, and you got the new coconut?
Yeah, Once Upon a Coconut, man. Shout out to them, man. We'll make sure that happens. I think next week it'll be official, so I'm excited about that. And you can go to GorillaGrills.com and use my discount code McMillan10 and get the best grills, some of the best products that you have. So GorillaGrills.com, baby.
4 o'clock hour is on the way. We're live here at Treasure Island, Golden Circle, Sportsbook and Bar, Salerno and Cofield on the way back.